I guess it's sort of a late Thanksgiving message in a way. I come out of the study out there on Saturday after we celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday, and I looked out here at this church and looked down where that old Legion Hall used to sit. My mind went back to when I was a teenage boy, going in that place, sitting on a bar stool in there, and most everybody in there was twice my age or more. And I thought to myself, I couldn't think of a one of them that's still in this world. They all gone. And I thought to myself, Lord, why'd you reach way down where I was? Pull me out of that. I stand before you unworthy. The only thing I was worthy of was hell. And so I guess I was just trying to be thankful for what God did for me, and He just reminded me how good God is. How good my Lord's been to me all the days of my life. So I want to look at this scripture right here tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7, down around verse number 36. We all got something to be thankful for. Many things to be thankful for. As I look at this scripture right here, it's not focused on the fame or fortune or the things of this world, but it's focused on forgiveness. It's something we all stand in need of. And there's a woman in this passage of scripture right here. She was forgiven of her sins. And let's just read the scripture right here, and then we'll get into the message. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, I want you to know the Pharisees were not the friend of Jesus. They were all the time looking to trap him and to belittle him and refuse him. So, but this particular Pharisee right here, he asked Christ to come into his house and sit down to meat, come to a meal. Bible says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly or freely forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight. Lord, for the privilege, God, to be in your house once again. Lord, together, Lord, with your people, Lord, look into the word of God, Lord. And God, would you speak to us, Lord, and speak through us tonight, Lord. God, help us, God, to leave different from how we come in this place tonight, Lord. God, we look about, God, and we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. God, we've got many, Lord, that's sick and afflicted, Lord, and God needs heaven's help tonight, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord, God, that you'd be their help on, Lord, tonight, Lord. God, I want to tell you, Lord, that I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as I said, this passage of Scripture right here, I believe in verse number 47, tells us what the whole focus of this passage is about. He said, Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know, I think we ought to love him more, don't you? If we just take an inventory of our life at what God has done for us. I mean, if he never did anything for us in life but forgive us of our sins and save our soul from the devil's hell, we'll be eternally indebted to him for his goodness and for his mercy, wouldn't we? Amen? And so tonight, I don't know. You know, you may be going through a hard time in life. Things may be looking really bad for you. But look up tonight. Jesus loves you, and Jesus is going to see after his children. I tell you, life has some hardships. Life had some disappointments. And I'd be a lying if I told you that I didn't have some in life. And I'd be a lying to you if I told you that I didn't have some occasions, you know, to just get down on myself and to get down and wonder where God's at and wonder where, Lord, why you don't hear me and help me out of my situation. But God's been good and God's been faithful. And he's going to be faithful to his word and faithful to his children on through life. You look through the word of God, you'll see, you know, some of the choice people in this Bible right here went through hard times and hardships. And so tonight we can look up and be thankful to be a child of God and be able to stand upon the promises of God and know that this world's not all there is to it. This just a stepping stone into eternity right here. As they sang a while ago, we're just waiting for the call, Brother Tim. And one day the Lord will call each and every one of us out of this walk of life right here. Could be through the rapture. It could be on an individual basis. But we ain't going to stay here forever. We're going home one glorious day. But I want to go through this story right here and give you a few thoughts to look at right here. First of all, I want you to look at this doubting Pharisee right here. He was a very religious man. He was a self-righteous man. You know, in society, he'd probably had a big name. He'd have been a wealthy man, more than likely. And people would have probably had great respect for him because he was a keeper of the law in his own eyes. But let me tell you, he was a blind man. He couldn't, if anybody should have recognized the Christ of that day that walked upon the streets and the miracles that he was performing, it should have been the Pharisees who knew the Word of God, who could go back into the Old Testament, look at all the prophecies that pointed to the day when Christ would come into this world. Even the time and the place were, oh, there's so many prophecies pointing to the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the Messiah. He's the one that God sent into this world. But the Pharisees, it was a, you know, they didn't like Christ because they had prospered in the way of their religion, their Jewish ways. But, you know, they didn't like Christ coming in and upsetting their little nest that they had made for themselves in life. Simon, you see that his name is given, but he was religious, but he had no righteousness. He lacked faith and he lacked forgiveness. But he was in a place where the Lord Jesus Christ was invited into his own house right there. And, you know, he was a sinner, but he wouldn't admit it, and he didn't even realize it. And I remind you tonight, the wages of sin is death. Always has been and always will be. But, you know, you think about this experience that this Pharisee had to be able to sit next to Christ, the Christ that God had sent into this world, and yet he was a doubter, and he really brought Christ, I believe, into his house to try to try to trap him, try to trick him into something, or get him to say something wrong, you know, according to the law. But, you know, he fell into his own trap through this scripture right here. Notice this doubting Pharisee, his judgment of the woman right here. In verse number 39, it says, "When the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." We all sinners, ain't we? Amen? I'm a sinner just saved by the good grace of God. And I thank God for that in my life right here. But this Pharisee, he looked at this woman right here, and he said, "Well, you know, if Christ knew what manner of woman this is that touches him, why," he said, "she's a sinner. He didn't want nothing to do with her." But Christ, I'm thankful that Christ welcomes sinners. Christ loves sinners. He came into this world to seek and to save sinners. Thank God for that tonight. And so he passed judgment upon this woman right here. And, you know, her nature, she had the same nature we all have. Amen? We're all prone to sin and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so we ought to be all thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus tonight that cleanses us from all our sins. Amen? The judgment of the woman. But look at this. He not only judged the woman, but he judged the Lord. In verse 39, he says right here, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." He said, this man, this was the God man, and he didn't realize it. And he was more than a prophet. He was the Lord that left the glories of heaven, come into this world, took upon himself the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. And that's what he was doing here at this place. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and to serve mankind and offer mankind salvation. But he judged the woman, he judged the Lord, but notice he fails to judge himself. You know, we're kind of guilty of that a lot of times ourselves. We want to look at other folks and judge them, don't we? We want to throw rocks at other folks when we ought to be looking at our own self. Look what the Bible says in the previous chapter right here. In chapter number 6, the Bible in verse number 41 says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that's in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that's in thy brother's eye." Verse 36, he says, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." 37, he says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." Now, let me tell you something. If I say, let's just say Brother David right there. If I've judged him and I find fault in him, I'm supposed to forgive him. Amen? And same for me. If you find fault in me, you're supposed to forgive me. What the Bible says. In other words, if I'm not forgiven, God's not going to forgive me. And same with all of us. I can't judge somebody and have an ought against somebody and want to throw rocks at somebody else when I'm just as guilty as anybody. We're all sinners. We're supposed to lift one another up, forgive one another, and help one another. We're not in here to devour one another. We're in here to love one another as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. None good. We're all prone to sin and fall short. So this old doubting Pharisee, he failed to judge himself. We don't like to judge ourselves. You know what? When I look at me, I don't like what I find. Amen? I can find a whole lot of fault right here. I can find a whole lot of things to throw rocks at right here. And so if I'll just judge myself and keep myself right with God, and then maybe I can help somebody else. But if I'm unforgiving and if I find fault in everybody, then I ain't right with God. No need for me to think God's going to hear my prayer. Amen? So that's a thought right there. The doubting Pharisee. He judged the woman, he judged the Lord, but he wouldn't judge himself. But notice this. Not only the doubting Pharisee, but the once defiled, but now delivered woman. Verse 37, notice this, her knowledge of his presence right here. Back in our text right here, verse 37, it says, "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." You'll notice in verse 37, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that she was a sinner. Verse 39, the Pharisee says she is a sinner. Now, I looked at two or three commentaries on this scripture right here. Some commentators think that she got saved and got forgiven in this passage of scripture right here toward the end. But I disagree with that. I've never seen anybody lost worship God. I've never seen anybody lost fall at his feet with thanksgiving. She had something to be thankful for. And I think later on when Christ speaks the words of forgiveness, he's doing it as a testimony to the doubting Pharisees and all others that was in that room. She was a sinner, but she ain't no more. She said, one of these days you'll find this woman in heaven. And what a lady she was. Her knowledge of his presence. I mean, this Pharisee's house right here. Isn't it a great thought to know that at Liberty Baptist Church, the Lord meets with us? Isn't it a great testimony to go out to lost people around here that pass up and down this road right here that's maybe heard while the Lord meets with his people there in this place? Isn't that a great blessing? This woman had knowledge of his presence in the Pharisee's house, and she wanted to be there. And so she showed up there. And you know, if we'll just keep the Lord in our services, if we'll exalt him and lift him up and worship him, then, you know, the news will get out and folks will want to come see what's going on down at Liberty Baptist Church, won't they? Amen. And so when we gather together, Brother David said that was a funeral song. Well, let's don't have a funeral when we gather together. Let's gather together and worship God. Amen. Because he's worthy of our praise tonight, isn't he? Amen. And so her knowledge of his presence right here. Then her knowledge of his power. In chapter number 8, right here, verse number 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city, village, preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, many others which ministered unto him of their substance." So, this woman right here, she knew what he could do. She knew. She had knowledge, you know, personal knowledge. Do you have any personal knowledge of what Christ can do? Has he ever done anything for you? Amen. And so, through her knowledge and through his presence, she wanted to be there where he was at. And child of God tonight, you ought to have a desire to be in the house of God. Amen. And look about at the empty pews tonight. Where's people's desires at tonight? You know, when God saved me, I began to like church. I enjoy getting in a good service, seeing God move and seeing God do things like he did here Sunday morning and in the two miracles of new birth that was performed here by the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. That's a great joy in my life, and I enjoy things like that. And so we see she had her knowledge of his power, and I think she had knowledge of his preaching. In chapter number 5, Verse number 31, and the Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank God for those words and the word of God tonight. I thank God that sinners are welcomed by Christ. Amen. I'm glad that he don't just pick and choose who he wants to call. But the call of God goes out to all mankind tonight, that whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. Thank God. This woman right here, no doubt she had a terrible reputation. No doubt she was a woman of the streets. But Jesus loved her enough to save her and forgive her and give her a new pathway in life. I think she had knowledge of his presence, his power, his preaching. But the main thing, she had knowledge of her plague. At some point, we're just reading between the lines right here. No doubt she heard Christ. And she felt a wooing to come to him. And no doubt, he forgave her of her sins. Now she realizes what a great thing that he's done in her life. And it do us good to realize what God's done for us. You know what? He didn't have to come to me. He could have passed me by and still been God. And it's why grace is so amazing, Brother David. It's why it amazes me that God saved me. I ain't worth nothing to him. He could have done he's still been God. He didn't need me. I needed him. And I thank God that he gave me a chance at life one day. Not only the doubting Pharisee, the defiled but delivered woman, but notice this, the debtor's actions. He goes into the scripture right here now, and he presents a parable to this man named Simon, this Pharisee right here. Verse number 40, the Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly or freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? This Pharisee right here, if he could have bought salvation, he probably had the money to do it. If he could have passed and been accepted by God by his good works, he was a religious man. He probably done some good things, but that didn't work. When Jesus presented this parable to him right here, he showed they were debtors, but he said this, they had nothing to pay. That's where we were. When we realized we were lost sinners on our way to a devil's hell, there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. But Jesus paid it all. That old song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. They had nothing to pay. But notice right here. In this, the debtor's action. Notice right here the creditor's grace right here. They had nothing to pay, but he therefore frankly or freely forgave them both. What grace. Now, if you study this, there were two great debts that were owed right here. One of them would have been over a year's wages, and one of them would have been just a short time, 50 days or something like that in wages, according to my Bible right here. But he forgave the one that owed most, and he forgave the one that owed little. There's a lot of good folks in this old world right here that think they're good enough to get to heaven. I've had kin folks before that thought, I've lived a good life. I've never done anything real bad. I think I'll be all right, but that's wrong. All of us are debtors. We need grace. And God has provided grace for all mankind if man will just accept it. The creditor's grace, but notice the creditor's question right here. He said this, Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And with an arrogant answer right here, you notice the debtor's answer, old Simon right here. I think he was a little arrogant when he answered Christ right here. He said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. But notice not only this debtor's answer in his arrogance, notice the debtor's action, the woman. You see, when he presented this right here, he was trying to get Simon to see that he was a sinner. And he was so self-righteous, he didn't want to admit it. But he needed grace just like this woman did. But notice not only this the debtor's answer, but the debtor or the woman, her action. Verse 44 through 46 right here says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. They gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head withal thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Notice the answer. Notice the actions right here now that Christ pointed out right here. It was customary in this day and time right here, if there was a feast, if there was a banquet of some type, and they didn't sit at tables. From what I've read, they actually laid down upon a floor, propped on one elbow, and ate, and their feet would be back behind them. And Jesus said right here, it was customary in that day when a guest came in that a servant or the owner of the house would wash their feet. And when they greeted them, they would greet them with a kiss on the cheek. And they would anoint their head with oil. I mean, it was a welcoming custom of that day right there. And, you know, I just imagine right here from the actions of this woman right here and the kind of a rebuke that Christ was giving to this old Pharisee right here. When she began to weep behind him and she washed his feet with the tears and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head, and she broke an alabaster box and anointed him with those fragrances there. I would imagine this woman, no doubt, when she first came to this banquet, she was probably out here just kind of standing and looking. And I imagine Simon had all his preferred guests in that room right there. I imagine that he had the servants to go to each one of them to wash their feet and to greet them with a kiss and anoint them their head with oil. But I believe this woman right here noticed that Christ was neglected. And I believe she came in. And she began to take the place of the Pharisee right here. And she fell down and behind him, weeping, remorseful and reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ right here in thanksgiving and worship. She fell down and begin to do the things right here to him to show appreciation to him for what he'd done for her. And shouldn't we be the same kind of people like this woman right here? Hey, listen to me. You could be in hell tonight without any hope. Let me tell you something. When we come together to the house of God, this is a house of worship. We ought to come into this. We ought to come into this place with thanksgiving in our heart and praise in our heart and worship in our heart for what Christ has done for us. Church ought to be like a funeral. It ought to be a worshipful place. Amen? And so we see the actions of this woman right here. And Christ took notice of it. Christ took notice of it. Listen to me. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. And when we come to the house of God, let's don't waste our time. Let's don't waste God's time that He's given us. Let's be thankful. Let's worship Him for what He's done for us. Oh, the things of this old world might be going haywire for you. Things may be going terribly bad, but you ain't in hell, are you? You ain't in hell, and if you're saved, your sins are forgiven. You got something to be grateful for tonight. Amen. Closing with this. Not only the doubting Pharisee, the once defiled but delivered woman, the debtor's actions, but the creditor's announcement right here. Verse 47. He said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Take a little inventory of your life. There ain't a day goes by where we don't sin and come short of the glory of God. We all fall in that much category. A lot of sin in our life. But we're forgiven. Forgiven. She loved much because her sins were many. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." There ain't nothing like the peace of God, is there? Ain't nothing like it. This world will drive you crazy. This world, the devil, he'll try to take peace from you. But the peace of God that passes all understanding belongs to the child of God. You can have the peace of God when you're going through the storm. You can have the peace of God when you're about to leave this old world. And I thank God for that peace tonight. Glad I can lay my head down tonight. And knowing if I don't get off my bed in the morning, that I'll be in glory with Him. And I've got that peace. And it amazes me what God can do in a person's life. So I challenge you tonight, be more thankful. Be more thankful. And where would you be if the Lord hadn't come to you? He didn't have to, but thank God that He did. All right. Yes.